thanks for everybody coming back. This is our first keynote speaker session for today. I think there'll be some more tomorrow. I think that's when the other two keynote speakers will be in. Anyway, our session this morning is on infection prevention. This is Ray Ranger.
Hello.
Oh, there you go. All right. Okay.
Good morning.
Ray's got 30 years of experience in healthcare cleaning industry. It says here that he's well qualified. Well, I think 30 years might give him some qualification on that. But mainly he's in the healthcare. So while I cover all the generic stuff and a little bit of it, he's going to get a little bit more in depth. He wants to talk about three things. Infections are everybody's problem. Proper hand hygiene is one of the big keys. And processes, products, and clinical outcomes. Ray Ranger.
Thank you. Thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all attending. Yes, infections, it's time for us to try to stop infections. Are we going to stop them all? No. Like Dave said earlier, there are thousands of bugs out there. We can't stop them all, but we can reduce it. And I think that's our main goal, and it's on our hands. It's on our hands to stop it. It's on our hands every day. My name's Ray Range. I'm the director of healthcare for SSS. I'm from New Orleans, so if I talk too fast for y'all, let me know and I'll try to slow it down a little bit. Sometimes I have I talk a little too slow. For the past 30 plus years, I've had my hands in stuff that make a billy goat puke. From starting a medical waste company to running healthcare facilities, it's amazing at what I've learned from being, engaged, involved in healthcare throughout the years. It's been a challenge. And today, we're witnessing an epidemic that we really have not seen since the early 80s. And what happened in the early 80s? Anybody? AIDS. HIV hit the United States. And that's when the first major change, especially in healthcare, took place. Isolation precautions were introduced. Sharps containers were introduced. Trying to get nurses to stop recapping needles through their teeth. You'd have thought I took their firstborn away from them. But they only had to miss once, and then they've got a problem. So sharps containers were introduced. Let me ask y'all a question. What do you think the dirtiest thing in a hospital is? Come on.
Door handles?
That's a good answer, but no. The what? The bed? That's another good answer, but no. Okay, I don't want to throw this to you, but keyboards. All good answers. Wait. Oh, all good answers. All high touch areas. But no. The doctor's lab coat is the dirtiest thing in the hospital. And if you think about it, they wear it home. They wear it to the office. They're seeing patients. They're leaning over bed rails. They're touching everything. They wear it to surgery. And then they put it back on. And then they go home again with it. The only time a lab coat is cleaned is if it's visibly soiled. Other than that, it goes everywhere. So the doctor's lab coat is the dirtiest thing in a hospital. So let me ask you another question. What do you think the most infected item is in an airport? In an airport. Wait, do what? The TSA, the little buckets. Exactly. The little buckets. And we'll kind of get into what we found when we when we swabbed them and what we found. So, you know, infections are everywhere. They're not just in hospitals. And I think when you start seeing some of this data, it's going to scare the hell out of you, you know, but that's kind of the idea. And, but we don't have to wait for a scientific breakthrough. You know, bugs are getting stronger. They're getting more dangerous. And like Dave said, there are some out there that will kill you. You know, so we, all of us, we've got to be the frontline defense in making facilities safe. And that's what this is all about, you know, and just kind of highlighting, you know, where we're going with this. You know, yet most of us have failed to act. You know, we talked about spraying earlier. We talked about cleaning and disinfecting. You know, you can't, science 101, you've got to clean before you disinfect. That's how it works. You just can't do both. 8 germs cause 80% of the problem. Now, if you look at them, you know, it's life-threatening blood-borne infections, urinary tract infections, you know, ventilator, you know, associated pneumonia. It goes on and on. And if you look at which ones, you know, I mean, half of these we can't even pronounce. You know, it's like the hardest bug known to man to kill is a Bacillus stereothermophilus. That's the hardest one. And that's what they test instruments for when they go into sterilization process. So they're everywhere. And we have to be cognizant about how we clean surfaces and then disinfect. You know, and Dave said it, he said it right. You know, if we look at, you know, despite the size and growth trajectory for healthcare, the industry, it's still plagued with large-scale problems and inefficiencies that are prompting massive transformations in how care is assessed and reimbursed. You know, 2 years ago, the federal government enacted the Affordable Care Act. Part of that Affordable Care Act was a section that penalized hospitals if they fall within the bottom 25% of hospitals nationwide. So last year, I think there were 720 hospitals that lost 1.5% of their reimbursement. It was the federal government's first enactment to really pay hospitals for quality, not quantity. And of November of last year, the same Affordable Care Act was also instituted for long-term care facilities. You know, so the federal government is starting to get involved in reducing infections. And in healthcare, if a patient is readmitted back into the hospital within 30 days of discharge because of something that should have been taking place at the hospital, that patient or the insurance company is not responsible for that readmittance. The average surgical site infection is over $40,000. And that's an average. So are they starting to pay attention of what needs to be done? I wouldn't want to be a CEO standing in front of the boards kind of explaining why we lost 1.7 million because of infections. I would not want to be there. You know, controlling healthcare associated infections, you know, HAIs, is really a battle in itself, you know, and it can't be cured by just pouring bleach down the back of a computer. You know, that can't happen. You know, take bleach. You know, bleach has been around for 100 years. You know, when they first started using bleach, everybody, first thing they said is, oh my God, it smells like bleach. It's like, well, because it is, you know. But yet, bleach is not a cleaner. It's a disinfectant. And it's got a 10-minute dwell time on it. So if you don't keep the surface wet for 10 minutes. You should re-wet it. And then you should wipe that surface, you know, off with clear water, or it's going to leave a residue. Now, there's no data of, you know, of how much bleach has destroyed equipment. We don't know that. Nobody knows it. But what I do know is if you clean first and then use a product that has a 10-minute dwell time, and then you have to wipe that product off, we don't have time to clean surfaces three times. We don't. You know, it doesn't work. You know, especially in healthcare, you know, and in other venues as well. You know, we have to find a solution to make this better. You know, and if you look at the clinical data, on an average day in the United States, 25 medical patients has a healthcare-related infection, including a disease that is life-threatening. One in 25. Half of these patients are 65 years and older, and nearly one in nine will die during a hospitalization. One in nine. Over 65 years old. I'm getting pretty close to that age. You know, we're not going to school. You know, where are we going? Long-term care facilities. You know, so we've got to find a way to slow this down. Now, this is in 2016. There were 720,000 infections and 648,000 patients. That's a big number. That is a huge number. Hospital-acquired infections continue to be a problem in healthcare setting. HAIs estimated 1.7 million infections annually. 99,000 associated deaths, 5 to 10% of hospitalized patients annually. HAIs add over $30 to $45 billion in healthcare costs. Now, some sources say that it could be 8 times higher because of the lack of reporting. But it doesn't matter if you get 1 billion or 80 billion. When you get to that B word, it's a problem. You know, we've got to figure out a way to slow this down. C. diff. C. diff has become one of the major issues in all settings, all venues, you know, not just healthcare. And I'll kind of give you an example here in a little bit. But 94% of all C. diff infections are connected to getting healthcare, medical care. 94%. 25% of these infections first show symptoms in hospital patients. 75% first show symptoms in nursing homes, long-term care facilities. You know, we've always been under the assumption that, you know, bugs can't jump off the floor and cross-contaminate patient to patient. You know, we've always thought that. But think about it. In a long-term care facility, they're in nursing home. I mean, they're in wheelchairs. They're rolling down the hallway. So now you got hand to floor contact. They're holding onto the rails, you know, holding themselves up, walking down the hallways. You know, so they're touching everything. Love is in the air. You know, nope, that's it's C. diff. You know, C. diff can live on surfaces for up to 6 months if it's not properly cleaned and disinfected. Up to 6 months. You know, infections are not just an issue in healthcare. We talked about, you know, the nursing homes. So what happens? Little Johnny goes and visits grandma, you know, like all kids do. You know, they hug, they kiss, they sit on the bed, they're talking to grandma, you know, they're having a good time. It's getting kind of late. Johnny goes home, doesn't take a bath. Next day he gets up, he goes to school. And like most kids, they're hugging their friends. How you doing? The teachers are guiding them around, holding them. All of a sudden, we find out grandma has C. diff. So what just happened? Johnny is a barrier. He's part of that chain of infection that Dave was talking about. He is now contaminated. He's also contaminated his desk, other students, the teacher. Anything he has touched is now contaminated. So it's not just in healthcare. And if you look at the data, you know, absenteeism due to, you know, the infections. You know, they're a major cause of illness in young children. You know, school absenteeism of infections is one of the most important problems facing both public and private schools. In the United States, there were approximately 164 million lost school days each year. So what happens? You know, you got that many lost school days. It's costing the school money, big time money. You know, in a society where school reimbursement is directly related to attendance, it's a loss of significant portion of the school funding. Reimbursement numbers vary, you know, from district to district, you know, but the average $30 to $50 per student. 4.5 sick days per student. $6.5 billion annually is what it cost. So again, the schools are suffering because of illness, because of infections. So our custodians have to get on the same page as what Dave was talking about as far as process. Process plus products equal outcomes. You can't have one without the other. You know, you can have the best process based on best practices of cleaning and disinfecting, but if you have a product that doesn't work, then your outcomes aren't going to be there. So the right process, the right products, you're going to get the outcomes that you're looking for. Now, I travel the country. I travel the country coast to coast, mainly working with healthcare. But damn, I stay in hotels all the time. And when you start looking at the data of hotels, you know, are they making you sick? You know, and it's when you start looking at it, how are they cleaned? It's actually kind of scary. You know, the consumer marketplace visited over 54 hotel rooms in the nation, and here's what they found. You know, the study encompassed, you know, looking at unclean hotel surfaces using the black light that Dave talked about, as well as the ADP monitoring system to get microbial data. You know, at the end of the sampling, recycled bed sheets. You know, housekeepers are using cleaning brushes for all surfaces, regardless if it was a toilet or if it was a glass that you're drinking out of. You know, so, what do I want to do? Glasses in the bathroom were rinsed, you know, with a dab of hand soap and then rinsed out and washed and put it up. You know, the tub that you stand in to take a shower, you know, they rinse it off with the shower head. You know, we've seen them do it. We know what they're doing. Mold in the air conditioning units. Mold. You know, in terms of microbiota, the counts, you know, the high chloroform levels were found on the comforter, TV remote, bathroom countertop, faucet, and the toilet seat. So the microbials are, they're bad. You know, so the hospitality industry definitely needs to look at this. You know, it's also recovered antibiotic-resistant strains of 19% on surfaces, with 46% confirmed of being MRSA. You know, C. diff was also isolated, you know, from two hotel rooms. So obviously, you had a patient, you know, a someone someone that stayed in the hospital that was a patient. They got C. diff. They laid in the bed, went to the toilet, and it wasn't properly cleaned, so that virus is still on that surface. You know, it's it just gets crazy. 24% of the ice sampled contain high levels of coliforms, which, you know, we're testing for E. coli in the ice machines. E. coli in the ice machines. You know, we all know some of the principal routes of the spread of infections, you know, include contact with infected persons, you know, with articles of bedding or clothing, you know, that have been contaminated or infected. Numerous infections are spread by respiratory secretions. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, so again, you know, we've got to find a way to stop this. You know, other serious infections, you know, fetal. You know, how often is that toilet cleaned underneath the rim? You know, it's the idea is to get in, to get out, so you can get another, you know, visitor in that room. I mean, let's face it, you know, they make twice the money. You check out early, you get the room clean, you get another guest in there, and now they're getting the money for another day. You know, airlines. Airports, airlines, this was crazy. Did anybody by any chance see the Rosin report on the Today Show? Oh, man. What do you think the dirtiest thing in an airplane is? Anybody? Do what? Well, no, but that is a good, I'm sorry, good catch. Do what? The chair. All right. Seatbelt. What else? What about the tray? Who didn't get one of these? Anybody? Oh, I'm a terrible throat. You know. No. I mean, it's... And wait till you see the numbers that came up on some of this stuff. You know, so Jeff Rosin did a report. And, you know, I wish I could click on this and show you the video, you know, but if you want it, let me know, and I'll be more than happy to send it to you. But the trays that you put your stuff in to go through the TSA, you know, oh, nuts. It was crazy. You know, so... It contained the most bacteria that could potentially make people sick. Now, when they sent the swabs, you know, from the plastic bins, they actually sent it to a doctor. Now, anything over 100 is considered to be bad. This came out 616. You know, so Dr. Wider of Columbia University Medical Center basically said it's poop. The handles, the bacteria in there, without getting, you know, real specified of what bacteria, whether it was E. coli, Mercer, C. diff, you know, basically it was poop. You know, so think about that next time you go through the airline. You know, talk about want to put a pair of gloves on. You know, he swabbed the toilet seat in the bathroom of an airport. It came back 30. 30. So what does that tell us? They clean in the restrooms okay, but that's about all they clean. You know, they're not really cleaning a whole heck of a lot. You know, the armrest on the airline, 429. You know, the buckle seat, 589. The tables, over 1,600. So, like I said, anything over 100, not real good. You know, I mean, it's nasty. You know, the gram-negative bacterium, man, that can kill us. So the airlines have to get on board with this as well. So now you're talking about sport venues. You know, well, the NFL says, okay, well, you can play because it was only Mercer that we found in the showers. It used to be only concussions is what they had to worry about. You know, now it's sports. And, you know, looking at the data on the sports side of it, you know, you've got, you know, physical contacts amongst athletes, sharing of equipment, towels, drinking the vessels. You see everybody, you know, squirting it in their mouth. You know, showers, locker rooms, contact with athletic surfaces, mats. You know, look at the wrestling mats in, you know, that we have, or the mats in the locker rooms that they walk on to go to the restroom. You know, I mean, go to the showers. I mean, they're all can be contaminated with infections. You know, and the list, guys, goes on and on and on. Now, here's some other venues that you think about all the time. You know, you've got casinos, you know, cruise ships, subways, taxis, trains, elevators, the elevator buttons. You know, everybody's pushing a button. Everybody. You know, so it's not just healthcare. It is all venues that we have to look at and figure out what we need to do to clean and disinfect to make the facility safe for everyone, whether it's the employees, whether it's the patients, whether it's the staff, whether, you know, anybody that walks in there, the guests. We have to figure out what to do, how to do it. And it's costing these facilities hundreds of thousands of dollars because of illnesses that is, you know, contacted through them. You know, so what is the solutions? Well, the first one is proper hand hygiene. You know, I was in a I was at an APEC show not long ago. APEC is the Association for Professionals in Infection Control. And a little infection preventionist was walking by. She must have been 110 years old. You know, white hair, white lab coat, everything was white, you know. And I asked her, you know, with everything we know about infections, why do you think hand hygiene is still such an issue? Oh my God, I thought she was going to kill me. I mean, she just, you know, let me tell you, you know, it's the damn nurses, it's the doctors, it's nobody washes their hands anymore. And I'm going, okay, I get it, you know, don't hurt me. You know, but she was hilarious. But yeah, hand hygiene is the number one defense here. And it's something that's so simple. You wash your hands, you sing happy birthday to yourself. You know, happy birthday to me. You know, and you're done. You know, you're good to go. Because it's on our hands. It's up to us to educate. And I really hate the word training. You know, you train a dog to go outside. You know, you educate people. You want to educate your staff. You want to educate whether it's a custodian, whether it's a housekeeper, whether it's an environmental service technician. Like Dave said, get over it. We all basically do the same thing. You know, our job is to make the facility safe for people, you know, but educate them. Tell them why we do things a certain way. Not this is what you do, you know. You do this because, you know, you do this process because. The more educated they are about their job, the better they're going to be. The more they're going to care about what they do. And it's just, it's proven fact. You know, so if you continue to look at, you know, dirty hands, and touching. You know, Dave mentioned this before. Eyes, nose, hands, you know, you're shaking hands, you're doing everything. You know, the germs, influenza, norovirus, salmonella. It goes on and on and on, you know, of what can be transmitted through your hands. You know, according to the CDC, the single most important thing we can do is from getting sick is to wash our hands. And that's the CDC. You know, and another thing Dave mentioned earlier, you know, as far as spraying chemicals. You know, the CDC also says no misting, spraying, or fogging. You know, and if you think about it, especially in healthcare, you know, you already have patients on compromised immune systems. The last thing you want to do is atomize anything. You know, and when you spray, you do breathe. So you're breathing, you know, that chemical in, and the pH is getting into your system. You know, make hand washing fun, you know, especially in our schools. You know, you've got, you know, hand washing areas that you can put up, the, you know, different types of you know, containers that are fun. You know, they're fun, and the kids will do it more. But we've got to take control of this. We've got to educate. Process plus products equal clinical outcomes. That's the biggest solution in the world. Part of that process is hand hygiene. Part of that process is cleaning based on best practices. Part of that process is getting a schedule together of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Educate. Now, we talked a lot about C. diff. You know, does anybody know what a spore is? A spore is a little different than a vegetative state bacteria. You know, a spore, you have a shell. Think of a coconut. You know, in order to get to the good stuff in a coconut to eat, you got to get through that hard shell, right? Same thing with a spore. In order to kill it, you have to have something that's going to penetrate the outer membrane and allow another part of that product to get into the intercellular structure to kill it. And there's a couple of products out there that, you know, Jim has one that's, I've used it, it works well, and it's called Paracept. You know, Paracept is probably one of the best cleaners I've ever used. I cleaned a kick bucket not long ago. Kick bucket is the stainless steel bucket in the operating room that the nurse kicks from one side of the table to the other. That's where the term came in at. Well, the bottom of the stainless steel kick bucket contained dried blood. So there was no telling when the last time that kick bucket was cleaned. So I said, well, you know, hell, let me try this. You know, it took a little elbow grease, but the blood, I mean, the kick bucket looked almost brand new. So it's the best cleaner I've ever used. The fact that it kills all these pathogens and bugs is an added, you know, added value. You know, but it's a hydrogen peroxide pure acetic acid solution. The hydrogen, the pure acetic acid penetrates that outer membrane, allows the hydrogen peroxide to get into the inner structure, and it kills C. diff as well as 50 other pathogens in 2 minutes. So it's a wipe and walk product. It's a cleaner, it's a disinfectant, and it works. You know, we've seen some very, very, very good results in utilizing this product throughout the country. So it does work. So like I said, stop training. Start educating. You know, education is a transfer of concepts and principles. The output, which is knowledge. You want to transfer that knowledge. Training is a transfer of skills, the output of which is performance. So we have to stop training and start educating. If we do that, the results are going to be phenomenal. We want our custodians, our housekeepers, our environmentalists, environmental service technicians to feel as though they are the frontline defense in helping making our facilities safe, safe for people. And if we educate them, you're going to see them walking around with a little pep in their step, you know, a little feeling good about what they do, you know, and I think that's the biggest takeaway that we could possibly have. You know, infections are everywhere, guys. You know, it's not just in healthcare. As you saw, hospitality, schools, planes, cruise ships, the list goes on and on and on. And, you know, speaking of the casinos, when you go into a casino, who do you mostly see there? Elderlies. You know, they're bored. So they go to a casino and they're playing the nickel slots. You know, they're not spending a lot of money, but they're having fun, you know. So again, we've got to be educating our staff and our custodians as being frontline defenders on helping to reduce infections. If we do that, we will slow this epidemic down, you know. So, you know, anything that we can do to help, we're on board. You know, we'd be more than happy to help in any way we can. Any questions? I know, this is scary stuff, huh? You know, it makes you think. But it's up to us. It's up to us to fight this battle, you know. So thank y'all very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Ranger, he's the speaker for healthcare from Triple S. You'll find the Triple S items that he talked about over there in the booth. That's our presentations for the morning.
There's a bus that goes.
Yeah, we have a bus that's leaving here, starts at noon every 10 minutes. If you want to take a tour of Gym Supply at our location and see the education room and all the rest of the things, if in fact you're hungry for lunch, you'll find food stuff there too. Our next class starts here at 2:30. Do not drive your cars over there. You will not find a parking place. Okay? So go down where you came in. The buses will be out there. Should be starting here probably any time. So enjoy the tour. Enjoy food if you get it. And we'll see you back here at 2:30.
Have fun, guys.
Ray Ranger.
Thank you.